I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi guys, you're very welcome to episode 39 of the Teas and C's Apply podcast. My name is Chelsea.
And my name is Tighe, and in this episode we are talking about the T's and C's of going back to school, putting on that uniform and just going, all right lads, welcome back. You're not looking forward to it? I don't know why you're not looking forward to it. You're not even in school anymore.
I know, but just the idea of the poor fuckers having to get up and go to school every day and learn.
I was about to say, I'm glad you said learn there, because I thought you were talking about the teachers.
No, I don't feel sorry for you at all. I don't feel sorry for the teachers at all, because I understand it's not the easiest job to teach, but it's also a great job as well, because you get a whole summer off, you get midterms off, you get more time off than I do.
Listen, we can talk about another occasion when we talk all about being a teacher. I'm sure there'll be an episode in some faraway season. Okay.
Far, far away.
Far, far away. But more importantly, right now, we're going to have to do a little sneaky segue. You're looking at me so blankly. You're like, what's a segue?
Why are you looking at me? You're
looking at me as if you've had a bump on the head.
Oh, yeah. So before we get into talking about things, all things back to school, that came out Irish. Let me try that again.
Just go with it. I'm not editing it.
Oh, you have to.
I'm not editing it.
Before we get into chatting all things back to school, on this week's Patreon, stop laughing at me, man. On this week's Patreon, I fill you guys in on the gruesome details of an injury I received from yours truly. Water, because half of it went into my fucking lungs, and all I kept doing was like moving my arms around, moving my hands around to look for Tighe. Because I was like, he better be fucking close by after trying to fucking kill me. And I just felt him and I grabbed onto him and he was like, you're all right, you're all right. I was like, I'm not fucking all right. I swear, my head was banging. It was such an impact. It was like, it wasn't even the side of my head. It's like when I came back up, his ass just connected with the crown of my head and just sent me straight back down. It was very painful. I love how you were still laughing
clearly,
at that.
Clearly this injury is still having an effect on you. Maybe we do need to check you for concussion, because you were looking at me so blankly for that. We were like, what? What head injury?
I'm still paying the price from that, lads. But if you want to hear all about that, go and check out this week's Patreon. Go sign up. Like I said, this is the second last episode of season 2. So you need to go and sign up to Patreon. Pronto.
That's right. If you want to hear from us after the season, it's the only place you're going to have us other than on YouTube as well. You can go follow that as well and see some of the extra stuff we're doing. But let's go. Let's ring that school bell and let's go back to school.
Let's go.
Okay. I'm very aware that we have a lot of UK and a lot of American listeners. to the podcast. So
how are you, lads?
This you're well. One, you're probably like, if you're in America, you're like, why are you talking about going back to school? We went back 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And if you're in the UK, you're probably like, why are you talking about going back to school? We're not going back for another 2 weeks. So this is based off of Ireland. Okay, I don't know if you've picked up from the accents, but we are Irish, living in Ireland, talking about.
I don't like girls.
Right, we're not Vogue and Spencer. Okay, darling. Okay, we're not living in Hooth. Okay.
Am I right, girls?
Cop on. We're different. Okay, but we based on that, it's easier to just get Irish figures sometimes for stuff. And I'm gonna ask you a question, right?
Right.
I've got the figures for how much it costs for 1 year of primary school, secondary school, and of college.
Right.
So I'm intrigued to see how much cost do you think there's involved in sending your kid back to school for 1 year. We'll start with primary school. How much do you think it costs to send your kid to a primary school for 1 year in Ireland?
Jesus, I have no idea. I thought it was just you're paying for books.
Oh my God, there's so much more. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
I don't know why I became posh saying that. Oh my God.
What? I thought it was just obviously the uniforms, the books, and then you had to pay off for I don't know.
I'll give you the breakdown later on of stuff. I'll give you the breakdown later on of all the different stuff that's involved in sending your kid back to school. But right. 1 year of primary school, what do you reckon it costs nowadays?
I have no idea.
€1,500 on average.
What?
Yep. For 1 year, for one kid in primary school. What about secondary school?
Oh, Christ, I have no idea. Again, I thought it was just you're paying for the books and stuff.
Oh, you're not. We're not talking about you might technically.
No, that's what I thought you all had to pay.
We're talking about the contributions of loads of all the different stuff. Transport, uniforms, books, all of that accumulated together.
Oh, I'd say for secondary school anyway, definitely be way more than that because there's a lot more to get.
Yeah. It's nearly double. It's €2,800.
Mental.
What about 1 year in college?
Oh, college is astronomical. Probably like €4,000 or €5,000.
Oh, bum dumb numbers up. That's rookie numbers right there.
Oh, wait, now you're taking into consideration if they're going staying on student accommodation, blah, blah, blah. €20,000-€30,000.
You're getting closer. So in Ireland, it's about 15,000 a year. So over the course of, let's say, your educational lifetime, right? Because primary school in Ireland, you're kind of looking at about 12 and a half grand for the primary school time. Then secondary school is about 15 to 16 grand. And then for college, you're looking at 60 grand.
Mental.
Like that's upwards. That's nearly like
for an education, lads.
That's nearly 85,000 to 90,000 euros for your entire education. And I know the Americans out there going, I would happily have my child educated for €90,000. I know. All I'm gonna say is your education
system
sucks.
America's a joke. My heart goes out to any Americans watching this when it comes to the education system. That's fucking joke.
No, it's a mess. It is a living mess. But like €90,000 is still a lot.
Yeah.
Like, that's a couple of years' salary for some people. Mm. Do you know? So, anyway, going into the breakdown, because you were like, I didn't realise there was so much involved to it.
I didn't.
So this is done by Zurich. You know, Zurich?
Zurich.
Sorry. So this was done by Zurich, right? The insurance crowd. And they've, done a massive breakdown of all of the different things. So, in terms of, this is more for secondary school rather than for primary school because of some of the costs. Grinds. Mm-hmm. Cost a small fortune. On average in Ireland, €600 is spent on grinds.
If not more. Because when I was doing, I did grinds when I was in my leaving cert year and it was €100
I'd have
a
spent
grind.
More as well. I'd have definitely spent more. But I suppose 15, 6 euros is a massive exception. You're going to be spending so much more that year than any other year on grinds. But again, this is the average based on all of the different people in Ireland. Transport was actually way less. It's about 400. So getting your buses, some people get taxis, some people, if you can walk or cycle, you're laughing, but it's not cheap sending your kid to school. Lunches came third, which I would have thought would have been way more.
Well, again, it all depends. Not a lot of schools have the prepared meals and stuff like that.
It's getting a bit more common now.
It is now, but when I was there, there was no, you had your canteen food. You might get a roll some curry chips, like random shit like that, like, but nothing major. I mostly brought my own lunch because it was cheaper to bring my own lunch.
Yeah, I was the same. When I was in school, it was always you bring your own lunch rather than what was there. Because back in the day, the canteen was literally just chocolate bars. That's all we had.
Yeah.
And literally, leaving cert year, they brought in soup. And wow, it was always gone. That was it. Soup. And it was the gone. First thing. No
hassle.
I used
to love the, I don't know if you had them in your school. We used to have, so like in the morning time, they would serve certain things in the morning time for the first break than they would in the evening break. Mm-hmm. So in the first break, everybody, and now when I tell you everybody, anybody from Tullamore College watching this, vouch for me when I say this, we used to bolt for the canteen on the first break because that's when they did all the chicken fillet rolls. So everybody would go to the canteen on the first break, get their chicken fillet roll to have on their big break because there were huge rolls and there were only €3.
Oh my God.
They were huge rolls. So you'd get a hot chicken fillet roll with sweet chili sauce, or you could get a plate, like a cold chicken roll with lettuce and mayo and So we would literally sprint for the canteen. And because they'd only have a certain amount of rolls brought in, they'd be pre-made. And they'd only have a certain amount of rolls. And if you didn't get a roll that day, you weren't getting it at
jealous.
All.
Yeah. Jealous. Jealous. No, there was no such
people
thing.
People were buying it. I'd buy it off you. I'd give you an extra €2.
Or something like that.
I'll give you an extra €2.
So if you got there early,
the
you could make a nice profit off this.
Easy. And that's but that's what some lads were doing. Some lads were actually buying 3 or 4 at a time.
And selling
and
them.
Selling them on.
Oh,
but actually
genius.
Genius, but it got to the stage where like they were like, we're not having this. Like you don't even want them. You don't even want them. You buy one and that's it. Like some people just didn't even want them, just wanted to make a profit. And then teachers and stuff kind of caught on what was happening. And they stopped it. You were allowed to buy one roll and that's it.
Do you ever have the kid in school, other than the chicken fillet roll lads, they used to like always have like a bag of stuff that they would sell?
Like what?
Like chocolate bars and sweets and all this stuff.
No.
Like real locker entrepreneurs, as I would call them.
I mean, maybe there was. I just never noticed it. But I don't think so.
Oh my God. There was everything in our school.
I don't think so.
I was at one stage, because I would have been involved with the local discos as well in some sort of way. I was the glow stick dealer.
Oh God.
And I made a killing.
In school?
Yeah. Cause
you would sell glow sticks in school?
Yeah, well, you see, you're missing the point here, right? Is that like, you know how you could get the wrist ones?
Yeah.
And they're basic enough. You can get them anywhere, right? I used to get the big, massive, chunky lads.
But again, in school.
Yeah, so this
you wouldn't be having discos in school.
You're not listening, right? So what you would do is in the lead up to the local disco that would be on the Saturday night, or if you were really lucky, there would be like one on a Friday night. During the week, you'll be telling people, listen, I've got a batch of these ones coming in. I've got whatever colour. You've got the bright green or the bright yellow or blue or whatever. Or for the girls, I've got pink, whatever. And all throughout the week, they'd be like, I'll buy 3, I'll buy 4. There's a gang of us meeting up at a house and like getting ready to get her there beforehand. So I'll take 7 because there's all whatever.
For God's
And I'd
sake.
Sell them at €2 a pop every week. Whatever I brought into school was always sold. Gone. No hassle.
What's this lad dealing?
Dealing clothes.
Dealing. Dealing in the corridors.
Trust me, they're selling a lot worse nowadays.
Fucking hell.
A lot worse nowadays.
Christ.
Oh, it's brutal. The thing that we're dealing with most at the moment is vapes and drugs and stuff like that. Like back in
would
the
you really?
I would happily go back to the days of catching a kid selling glow sticks over anything else.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
To be fair, yeah.
Harmless. We're harmless.
That's harmless,
then.
Yeah.
Do you know? Oh, God. The other thing that's on this list that's expensive is books. But yeah. I'm hoping that starts to change a bit.
Books are fucking mental.
They're starting to go towards mental. The e-books. Which
now, to be
I'm
fair, I got quite
with.
Lucky in the sense that by the time it came for me to go to secondary school, like some of my cousins or my brothers or like that, like had books to hand down. Like they never got rid of them. So when it came to like any Irish student listen to this will understand this. You got all the hand-me-downs of Revise Wise. Anybody that had all the Revise Wise books, like they were always kept. You for every subject you had a Revise Wise, because they weren't cheap.
Nah.
Those books, like, and they were like the best Revise Wise book.
Right there.
The concussion's
kicking in again, isn't it?
Yeah. They were the best revision books to get, in my opinion. Anyway, I really, really enjoyed those books. They were really good. But thankfully, when it came for me to go to school, I was able to get all them off my cousins and stuff like that for certain subjects that I was doing, which was great. Same with books that I might have needed. Like, you know, they might not have got rid of them or anything like that. But like when you have to buy a book, like, and they're big motherfucking books, what killed me was buying books that you barely used. Mm. Like, it would be on your list of stuff to buy. Grand, your parents would dish out a fortune for the 40 euro a book.
Depending on what teacher you got then in the subject, so they walk, nah, we won't be using that this year. And you're just like, what was the
what
point?
Was it on my list for? Like, there were so many times that was happening. Now, I would always keep whatever I wasn't using, I'd keep it for whoever else would be starting school in my family. But like, if you didn't have that kind of like rotation in your family where you were hand-me-down books, same with uniforms, never mind books. Same thing with uniforms. We did that with uniforms. Anybody that like had a uniform from the year in front of you, like if they finished school, the uniform fitted you, you were getting that uniform because uniforms weren't cheap. I didn't mind that. Like.
I would say you probably kind of experienced it. Well, actually, you might not have had the same. I don't have older brothers. Now I'm thinking you don't have any older sisters, but you had cousins that went to the same school, didn't you? I didn't have older cousins.
I didn't have any females.
My uniform was still somehow hand-me-downed. It was like it had gone through about five people before it reached me. Stretched all over the place in every direction. I was like, Mom threw it onto me in first year.
I got my brother's jumper, I think, because he finished school, but because we were in the same school, he obviously had the same jumper. Like, the uniform was the exact same. The only difference was girls could wear skirts if they wanted to. That was the only difference. But like, I got their jumpers, their ties, their shirts, like, because they fit me grand. Like,
happy outfit.
Do you know, it's not like there's a female version and a male version. No, they were all the same. Like, it was all unisex uniforms. So it was fucking mighty.
Mam used to get... As I would say, the Americans are probably like uniforms. What are those? Mam used to get like just a normal one from Dunn's or whatever. And I don't know who she used to go to, but she used to be able to get the crest of the school uniform.
Stop. From
it. And then she would stitch it onto that one. She was like, there you go, now a new jumper. I was like, it's a different color to the actual one, but it's close, like, I suppose. But like, it became a real thing in my school for a while that like, you just would get t-shirts or you get the school jumper one without school logo.
Can you
just go plain. You're like, it's the same color. And you're just like, well, yeah, close enough.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't blame her for doing that because uniforms are so expensive.
It's mental how expensive they get.
I think at the time when I was going to school anyway, for just the jumper alone was like 80 euro, if not more, just for the jumper.
But going back to the point we were talking about, because clothes was on the list as well, we could talk about shoes later on. With books, I'm so glad that it's all changing now, that like, as well as the whole uniform thing being a little bit more relaxed, so that there's different types of uniforms, so that they're not wearing the same uniform every day. Like the fact that all the schools are going towards ebooks now and going online, or having Google Classroom or Microsoft Teams or whatever you're using, and like using those programs instead and putting stuff online. Oh, it's so much better.
But here's my question to you as a teacher, right? Do you honestly think that is beneficial? Now, my reasoning being for this question is, are you like not encouraging kids to be on their, like, to use technology more rather than books? Because they're always saying like, oh, keep kids away from technology and put them back into books. So I'm kind of like, if you're moving all the teaching kind of criteria and stuff like that onto technology and online and all that sort of stuff with the ebooks and whatnot, which is a great idea, I agree. Well, 100% I agree. But then are you not putting pressure onto parents then on top of that to be like, okay, you had to fork out this amount of money for, say, the books. Now you're going to have to go and fork out this amount of money for a fucking iPad.
Right, so...
Do you get me?
I get where you're coming from. And to be fair, it is the viewpoint that a lot of parents take to it. But what they're not looking at is their kid, because, and not that I want to point fingers or anything, but I'm going with the majority of kids. Okay, I'm talking about 90 to 95%. 90 to 95% of kids have a phone that has access to the internet. It's probably an iPhone or it's going to be an expensive Android, okay? It might as well, it's probably more advanced than what most people have as computers in their home.
Yeah.
So them having downloaded Google Classroom isn't a big deal. They could literally, if kids really wanted to, they could do the majority of their homework on their phone, text it out like they do. Okay, so this whole, oh, well, now that it's gone online, I need to get my child a laptop or whatever. It's like, no, you don't. You really don't. Your kids are so capable on their phone. If they really cared, they would do it on their phones. No hassle.
Yeah, but again, you're just taking away the element, I feel like, of truly learning.
Let me finish, though, because you're about to go, you can only learn from a book. Bull crap.
No, I wasn't going to say that at all. Oh, I genuinely wasn't going to say that at all.
Learning.
As in, like, they're not going to be doing handwriting anymore, really. As in...
Nah, so I would like, disagree with that.
Like learning to fucking write is a basic skill.
I would disagree with that.
What?
Yeah, I would. Know. I would massively disagree with you on that one because, first off, my issue is that coming into secondary school, I think a lot of kids don't have good writing because it's not a skill practice more primary school. I'm not coming after primary school teachers in case there's any primary school teachers out there, but coming into secondary school, you can see the difference in ability based on the different schools. I hate saying that. Mm. There are some primary schools you can see that they have spent time focusing on literacy, focusing on numeracy and making sure that the writing is clear and eligible. And then there's some schools that you can see that like it just wasn't. It just wasn't a priority. Now, I'm saying that again, you look at different schooling systems and the way it was done with primary school. Some suit some kids, some don't suit them.
Yeah.
Do you know, the schools that put a lot of pressure on numeracy and literacy in primary school might not necessarily suit lots of boys. And it's taught in a different way. And some of those boys might not necessarily do well in that system as a result.
I just feel like from when like I was in school, I get the whole premise of them bringing in the technology and trying to update the education. I get it, right? I do get it. And I do agree with it in some form. But I'm also kind of like, from when I was in school, especially when it came to like exam years and stuff like that, and you were trying to study and whatnot, I always found as in like my laptop or my phone was a massive distraction. And I feel like if you've got all this on your phone or an iPad or whatever, your kid will get easily distracted. I would actually have to say, like, take my phone away from me, as in not in school. Like, if I was studying at home, I'd be like, I'd leave my phone downstairs on the microwave and I'd come up to my room and I'd study for whatever length of time and come back down and get my phone. Because if my phone was such an easy access to me,
I get you.
I'd go on it. So I'm like, if you're putting everything on Google School or whatever you call it,
Google Classroom.
Thank you. If you're putting that on Google Classroom and it's an app on the phone or an app on the iPad, kids can get so easily distracted by, oh, I'll just go out of the app now and I'll fucking go into TikTok or I'll go like.
But you see, then that is that the school's fault or is that the parents?
No, but I'm not saying it's anyone's fault. It's the student's fault.
But you got to look at it and go, is that down to self-determination not to go and use your phone for other things?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It'll be down to the student. But that's what I'm talking about. Students, young people, not just students, but young people in general are so easily distracted. I in leaving cert year, I was doing that. I kept getting distracted and I was constantly coming out of, you know, I'd be like, say, so I used to use my phone as a recorder. So this is the weirdest way I used to record. So I used to have a phone, but I used to also have like a voice recorder, but the tape ran out, so I had to use my phone. But I used to, when I was studying, say, for especially English and history, I'd have to do a lot of essay writing and stuff like that. And my way to study for those two subjects was to read about a certain topic that I had to write about. And I'd record myself reading it. And then I would put in headphones if I was out for a walk or going to sleep or like that. And I'd play myself back and I would hear myself over and over, right? Bearing in mind that I didn't use my phone for school other than that. But I always found when I was doing that, I was easy getting distracted and going, I'm just going to stop for about 10 minutes now. I'm going to flick through Facebook or, because there was no TikTok at the time. I'm going to flick through Facebook or, wow, I feel like a dinosaur saying that.
Yeah, I didn't realize you were over 50.
I feel like a dinosaur saying that. There was no TikTok back then. And like, I got so easy distracted. Whereas I just feel like if you try to put all education based onto, onto technology, I just feel like you're taking away a part of the physical learning aspect where they physically have to write and read and you're completely dead against it.
I was about to say, are we about to go down the rabbit hole?
No, we're not.
For 2 seconds, can I go down the rabbit hole for 2 seconds? Because I know that there's going to be teachers out there that are screaming at me to say some of these things. And there's probably a lot of parents out there going, come on then, back it up, Mr. Teacher Face. Come on, say something. So she's made some valid points. Right. A couple of things about that. Right. One, when it comes to Google Classroom, there is no excuses. That's the thing that I really love about it. So, for example, you talk about the physical learning. A lot of physical learning still happens in classroom. Like, very rarely would I actually be using technology going, okay, take out your phones or take out your iPads or whatever, and I want you to type away, do this, whatever. It's not really my thing. And I think a lot of teachers would agree the physical learning of writing and practicing that skill still happens in the classroom.
Right.
So that's like, it's not like technology is taking over all over the place. Okay. There is certain elements where, like, say, particularly like if I have a 2-week project that I'm doing with the kids on solar system, for example, I might put the assignment up on Google Classroom and say, right, the due date is this date, whatever, so it's there. And this is the instructions. Here's what you have to do. You've got 2 weeks, okay? So the kids might go off and they might type up the document, and it means that they can edit that over time. I can look at it over time, etc. They can submit and say, what do you think of that? I go, oh, I would change this or that order and add this piece in. And they can go off and redo it and resubmit it. Right. That's a really great system when it's done correctly like that.
Okay.
If a kid isn't in for a day, let's say if we're going back to the way we were educated, if you weren't in for a day and that kind of assignment was handed out, you didn't have it wrote in your journal.
Okay.
You would not have known about it. 2 weeks later, then, you know, if your teacher hasn't given reminders all the time in class or whatever, they'd come to hand in the homework and going, I didn't have that because it wasn't in that day. Well, you had 2 weeks. You should have known about it. Do not ask anyone in your class about what you missed. Yeah. All this stuff. And then you get in trouble. Whereas if it goes up in Google Classroom, no matter if you're sick or whatever, particularly the last 2 years when it was COVID, there's no excuse. It's still up on Google Classroom.
Yeah.
Takes away that big excuse.
Yeah, no, I'm not putting down the idea of going on technology at all. Like, it is a fantastic idea and it is great, especially for the likes of the pandemic where teachers couldn't do in-class learning and stuff like that. Like, it was fantastic. But I'm just afraid that I'm talking like as if I'm fucking teaching, like I'm at a school.
This is you. This is what's going to happen in maybe 15, 20 years time when you're going to have those parent teacher conferences.
That's yes.
This is what's happening right now. So it's missing she, sorry. Well, Miss Hench O'Donovan. Are you going double barrel?
No.
You're going just O'Donovan.
O'Donovan, yeah.
Okay. Miss O'Donovan, your young son here in first year, he settled well at the beginning, but now he's not doing his homework. Okay, I think we just need you to get a little bit more involved in his education.
I don't know what you're asking me. Was that a question?
Have you been checking his Google Classroom recently?
No.
Well, I mean, as a parent, you should have access through the system to be able to have a look. We would recommend you have a look at their
Google Classroom. I do feel like I will be that parent that would be like, I don't know, do they still do this where like...
Like if you're about parents, to say you're going to back your kid in every situation,
I wasn't going to say that at all. Do they still do the whole like parents have to sign the journal after every time you've done your homework?
See, a lot of schools are moving away from the journaling thing because most of the stuff is going up in Google Classroom. I really do still like the journals because not alone does it give you an opportunity to, let's say if there's a situation where you want to write a note to parent about something negative that happened.
Yeah.
But I like giving positive notes as well every so often. Be like, yeah, this kid has nailed it for the last three
now,
weeks.
I like that. So it's very seldom you actually saw that in school. I actually remember I said this to a teacher at one stage. Now, I'm not trying to sound like an absolute kiss ass, but I was a bit of a kiss ass in school. But I never got a bad note in school, but I've never gotten a good note either. So like, I think for me, who obviously was a student, to all the teachers out there, don't ever feel like you have to doing a reason you're writing the journal is to give a bad note when they've done something wrong or if they were late or they didn't hand their homework in or something like that. Like, it is okay. Like, would you write a random nice thing in someone's journal to be like, can I have your journal actually for a second? And like, say, like you said, for 2 weeks there, you might have noticed the student was doing an absolute cracking job and they were handing their work on time and they were making an effort in class and stuff like that. And to be like, you know what? I actually want their parents to know that they're making a really good effort. I felt like that would have actually encouraged a lot of students.
It does. It makes a massive difference.
And the only reason I'm saying this is because there was one subject I did. And my aunt will actually back me up on this. I tried so hard in this subject. Now, I gave it my all in every single subject in school. And I did, for the time I was in school, I did very well in my Leaving Cert, if I do say so myself. But there was one subject I did, and I swear I studied like day and night for the subject. I had loads of meetings about like, what can I do better, blah, blah, blah. I wanted a distinction in the subject, and I was adamant from day one when I started the subject, I was going to get a distinction in it. And the teacher I had at the time was just horrible. Just was not nice to me, was constantly telling me, you're going to fail, you're not going to get a distinction, laughing at the idea of me getting a distinction, all that sort of stuff. Knowing full well, I was giving my blood, sweat and tears into the subject. In the end, I got my distinction.
Nice.
I was absolutely thrilled to bits because, first of all, I wanted to prove to her, I will get this distinction. you're laughing at me with the idea that I'm going to get it, but I'm telling you now, I'm going to get that distinction. And then when I got it, I actually sent her a picture of it when I finished school to be like, so I got my distinction. And then she was very much like, oh my God, I always knew you were going to do it. I'm like, don't patronize me. Like,
yeah, never said that once.
You never once said that. Whereas I feel like if you see a student that genuinely is making a lot of effort, I feel like teachers should write random notes. Now, I know they used to do the whole, again, I don't know if it's like this in your second school now, but like they used to do like merit tokens. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
Some schools kind of have stuff that's similar, like you got positive and negative points, all this stuff, reward the positive behavior and like, you know, take away for negative behavior. Like every school has a different system, and like every teacher out there be like, oh, we do this in our school and we do that in our school. And like my previous school in the UK was actually really good for this, where it was like with positive points, they actually had two things that they used to do. So it was like, one, if you got over a certain number of positive points, you were put into this draw. You are like given an opportunity to win like a voucher at the end of every term, and it was like £100 voucher. So it was decent enough, like all for just being positive. But they had a second one, which was actually really sneaky, which was way better in my opinion. And it was called Zil Shows. And it basically was, if you didn't get any negative points throughout the year, you got to go on a trip at the end of the term or at the end of the school year, depending on what year group you were in. And it was like a proper trip. Like you might go to like, an amusement park, or you might go to somewhere like we're on the fringe of London, so you'd go into London for a day trip doing whatever, like there might be something organized. It was a decent trip. But what I like about that is sometimes a lot of the naughty kids, this is going to be weird to explain, sometimes your most naughty kids would also be the kids that got the most positive points.
Okay.
Because you get the whole teachers trying to change the behavior and reward anything. So like this is going to sound like, there's going to be so many teachers out there will be like, oh my God, yes, this happens all the time and I hate it. And parents will be like, really? If a kid who is a pain in the arse, who doesn't even bring their bag to school or a pencil or a pen or whatever, if they turn up to your class and their uniform is neat and tidy, you might go, oh, it's good to see that you're wearing the uniform correctly. That's a positive point. Or, oh, it's great to see that you brought a pencil case, which, yeah, that's a positive point.
Right.
So you start rewarding the most basic behavior because you're trying to get them to do it more often. But you wouldn't do that for any other kid in the class.
No.
And then all the kids who are like, hey, I'm doing this every day.
Yeah.
I've never once got a positive point off you. That's not fair.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you've got, so there's like, you get those kids at the bottom who are also like, they cause the most problem, but they also get the most rewards of everyone. So they always get loads of positive points. And then you get the really, really super bright kids who just stand out for everything because they're so academic or in super sporty, just involved with everything. So they stand out for everything. Mm. We get a massive bracket of kids in the middle who
don't really get acknowledged for anything.
Yeah, like they're getting through school, they're trying their best, whatever, but they don't really stand out. And I hate to say, like, they're the kids who I feel the worst for because they don't get noticed by a lot of people.
Yeah.
Do you know? And then, and they kind of go through 6 or 8 years of secondary school, it's kind of a bit meh.
Yeah.
And you kind of go, me. That's a bit, you feel a bit sad for them. Yeah. And like, the really outstanding teachers are really good at capturing those kids and keeping them engaged and keeping them loving that subject.
I always found there was two specific teachers that really kept me engaged and really made me like my school experience because of two specific like subjects that I did, which was English and history. I absolutely, like, I was so excited when I seen like I had like double history or double English or something like that, because I just loved the idea of essay writing and learning all about history and like reading poetry and reading novels and stuff like that. I just loved all of that. And but if it was a certain, so a different subject I wasn't very fond of, like maths or anything like that, I'd be like, ugh. Like, I'm really sorry. I love you.
Yeah, you're right.
I love you dearly, but I hated science.
Most people
hate it. I used to shiver with the idea of going into biology. I was like, ugh.
Most people hate science. So it's something that really weird that happens. And it's something that I bring up the whole time. First years coming into school or whatever you call kids when they're going into their first year of high school or middle school or whatever, they come in with such an enthusiasm for science.
Mm.
And like, they might have done a little bit in primary school. they might not have ever done it.
I came in absolutely buzzing for science.
Everyone's buzzing for science. And by the end of the year or by the end of second year, they hate the subject. Yeah. And I'm like, what do we... And like, I would love to actually put out there, what do we do that makes you hate the subject by the end of it?
I think a lot of people... Because obviously there is a good chunk of people that absolutely loved science and really got into the whole chemistry and stuff like that of it. But like, I feel like, number one, I don't find it boring. But I feel like personally, for someone who is shocking at maths, I feel like there's an aspect of maths to science.
Oh yeah, there is.
And if you are bad at maths, you're not gonna
find that part. Really
you're
hard.
Gonna find science quite difficult, and that's where I clash. Mm. I did grinds. I did after school study, everything with maths. I got all the help that could possibly be handed to me when it came to maths, and I still just couldn't grasp it. So that's why I dropped maths in the end, or dropped science in the end, because just the idea. Now, my teacher was fantastic. Oh my God, she was just like Miss Flynn. If you're watching this, you're probably not, but hey, how you doing?
Someone send us to Miss Flynn quickly.
Someone send us to Miss Flynn. She was a fantastic teacher. She was there for years, but she was so engaged with students. But you could also have the crack with her. And as well, she always knew the line as well. So she always, like, I had her from first year to leaving cert. And
that's
like,
that's a great system to get them all the way through.
Oh my goodness. And like, but she always knew the line. So she always knew who her younger students were. She always knew the banter to have with them. Does that make any sense?
Oh yeah.
But then once she became a senior student,
Things relax a little bit.
She could have more of a laugh with you. You could talk to her about certain things. It was a really great relationship that she built with all of us throughout the years. So in a sense, I enjoyed her more so than I enjoyed the subject.
That's fair enough. Yeah. Though. And like, it is interesting because I suppose I've been lucky enough, let's say last year in particular, I got a situation where I had a lot of, let's say, one-on-one lessons, or there might be two or three students to just me, and we'd be doing the subjects, whatever. But during that stage, you get to talk to them about, like, you know, their experience in school and what they like about different subjects and whatnot. And you learn very quickly that some people love subjects and some people love the teachers teaching the subjects. Mm. And if you are one of those teachers who can bring that love to a subject, you keep so many more people in that
massively.
Subject that would have been gone years ago.
Yep.
And like,
massively.
This isn't the woe me moment. So don't all of you start going, oh, Ty, don't be like that. Okay. I would have previously been a teacher like that. I think my second, maybe even third year of teaching, I was that teacher that like people enjoyed going to their classes, liked it. I was, do you know what I was? I was the kids, those middle ground kids upwards used to love the lessons. But if you were a kid who like messed about, bang, I was kicking you out of the class. Mm. I was like, I'm not having you ruin these lessons for these kids who actually want to learn.
Understandably.
And they would love that. And then I went into management and I actually think I became very mediocre. I became a bit of a shit teacher for a couple of years.
I wouldn't call yourself a shit teacher.
But like, as in my mind,
You probably became a lot more serious.
There would have been a lot more management, but I actually thought my lessons took a bit of a dip as well.
Okay.
Because I was never focused on what my lessons were like at the time. I was more focused on dealing with the outcome of someone else's classes that were going on, and the detentions of seven students that I had to run that evening, and how many emails I had to send to parents about whatever it was. And my mind drifted away from my own classes. And I actually, one of the things, and I know a student doesn't like me now either, because they were like he was never focused on our class. But I'm glad she had the balls to say it in one of like the middle of our classes. She was like, so I don't know what's happened in the last year, but like, it doesn't feel like you're here anymore.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what do you mean? And like, she said this in front of everyone. She was like, you come in, you're teaching, but like, you're not the way you used to be. And that was really hard to take.
Understandable.
Because like, and other teachers out there will get this. Like, sometimes you forget what kind of teacher you were when you get put into a new position. And you lose a little bit of yourself at times. And it's actually something I still feel like I haven't fully got back.
Yeah.
But like, now that I've seen my timetable, there's a couple of classes in there. I'm like, right, I have the opportunity to find that fun teacher and become that teacher who makes that subject lovable for people. So we'll see. I'm excited about that.
The way I look at it with you anyway, I feel like with your classroom, like with I feel like with, for this year, for you anyway, I feel like you've got so much potential to really come out in and find out the kind of teacher you want to be. I know, you know, in a sense what you want to be. You know the kind of teacher you want to be, yes. But I feel like this is the year for you to be like, I don't know, really show that fun side to you as well, but also keep that professionalism to you as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, because at the end of the day, you have to understand, every student out there now knows who you are. They know who you are. You are Teacher Tyke. You are the TikTok teacher. So they see that fun side.
Should I go follow me? No,
no, but like they see that fun element to you on they social media.
They know it exists. Yeah.
They know it exists. Exactly. So I'm like, you can bring an element of that in the classroom. Mm. Don't wait for them to be gone and just do it on social media. Bring that. I understand you obviously have to have that professionalism there and you have to keep it, you know, whatever. But don't forget, like at the end of the day, you literally just said it yourself. If you bring in a fun aspect to the classroom and the teacher or the students create a good bond with the teacher, your students will become way more engaged.
Mm.
But I also understand the fact that you don't want to be too lenient because they won't take it too serious. They won't take you serious either. Like,
I've definitely gotten softer in the last couple of years.
Oh, have you?
Oh my God, I've become such a teddy bear. Like my first year of teaching, I gained the nickname the Loud Irishman. That's all I was. Like kids in my school, because my very first school, there was 1,800 kids. Like you only knew your kids that you taught by name.
Mm.
You didn't know any of the other kids in school. But like where we were in the science block was like almost like its own separate building. It had its own kind of, I won't say rules attached to it, but like there were separate rules almost attached to it.
Yeah.
And like if there was misbehavior in the hallway or whatever it was, I was the teacher who would be sent out because I was loud. And like we had lab technicians. Oh, I loved my lab technicians. And they were all lovely ladies. Like they were all in their 70s. They were like just getting by, bringing in their stuff you needed for your lessons, all this jazz. They were the nicest. And they used to come in and be like, there's kids causing problems again. Ty, can you go deal with them? And I'd just go out and be like, lads, come back, get back in the class. Just like roaring. And like just let loose. And they would be like, they'd all rush off to wherever they're going. But like, you'd hear it then, like, that was the Loud Irish teacher, or whatever. Or that's him there coming this way. Now I just get, that's the teacher with Tiger. I've softened up so much. I don't shout really anymore.
This is your year, man.
To shout?
This is your year
bring
the fun aspect of Teacher Tiger into the classroom.
Yeah, I'm hoping to do it a bit more. I think a lot of the kids I had one-on-one lessons with, they got to see a lot of that as well. And yeah, for them, that was secretly nice as well, because they were like getting to spend some time with the influencer teacher who's having the crack and like is a human. Yeah, I used it for positivity, okay? I wasn't like flashing it. I wasn't about flashing off that in school.
Yeah,
I wasn't. I swear. I actually, like, it was one of those things there was only one or two people in the staff that I like was okay with chatting about social media with.
But anyway.
Yeah. But getting back to school,
getting back to school.
Main thing was, what I'm saying is I'm nervous about going back, but I think everyone does.
So I was
kids,
just about to
teachers,
say something like
parents,
that, right?
Everyone.
So this is a moment where I want to, you know, any first years out there starting secondary school or any kids starting primary school, if you're a parent and you're watching this, you know, it's a very exciting time for parents, like for kids starting primary school and stuff like that. But for any young person starting secondary school, just my advice to you would be to enjoy every single second of it. Yes, the first day, the first week is so daunting and it's so nerve-wracking, because especially if you're going in there with no friends, it is daunting because you obviously want to make new friends. But one piece of information I want to give to you, especially the first years, especially to people who tend to follow the leader a little bit. If you are going into secondary school with a group of friends and they start to act a certain way, because I always find, like I said, secondary school, you start to find out the kind of person you are. You kind of find yourself a little bit and you kind of find out the kind of group of people you want to surround yourself with. Make sure to surround yourself with the right group of people. Okay, don't waste your time, your 5-6 years in secondary school that you're in there. Don't waste your time following around hooligans. Okay, keep your head down, get in there, learn some shit, and come out with a good education, because do you know what?
It's useful to have.
Genuinely, and people are going to cringe when I say this. School is the best time of your life. I honestly will say that. Hand on heart. I used to laugh when people used to say it to me. Oh, schools are the best days of your life. I'd be like, fuck off. No, they're not. Get me out of this. Now, looking back on it now, going on into my 30s, I'm like, get me back. I'll go back in the morning.
If you look at your school days now, you get to hang out with your mates from 9 o'clock until 4 o'clock every day. You don't have to pay taxes or anything.
You don't have to pay rent. You don't have to pay bills.
You have to do a bit of learning, but like, it's not like a job.
Exactly.
Do you know? No rent or bills to really.
And you've got
pay.
The free, you come home, you do a bit of homework, you've the whole evening to yourself. Like, you get summer holidays off and weekends and midterms. Lads, you don't know how easy you have it. But in all serious, I know we're taking a joke out of it, but like, in all serious, school is the best days of your life. Don't give teachers a hard time, all right? Just at the end of the day, you have to understand it's their job. They're in there to do a job. If they're giving out to you, you're obviously fucking nagging the maggot.
And while we're at it, teachers, don't necessarily give your students a hard time either.
Yeah, teachers.
I don't know, you're just offending the teachers
I wasn't defending teachers.
Parents take it easy.
Let me finish my sentence.
Can we just say everyone just give each other a break this academic year? Okay, we've all had a lot of learning loss because of COVID. All right, there's 2 years down. It's still not right. Just everyone just love everybody. Everyone love everybody, okay?
Just enjoy it. Enjoy every second of it. Make new friends, you know. Try all the subjects. Give it your best. And yeah, at least you can look back in a couple of years' time and say you gave it your all. And like Tyke said, teachers, relax a bit, all right? Show the fun side to you. Show the students that you're actually a human being and not a fucking robot.
Ouch.
Well, you have to admit, as a teacher, some of you can be a bit robotic.
Ouch. We'll talk about that in another time. But now we're going to move on to our next section. The DIY.
DIY.
Oh, you lot thought we were joking when we said we're going to get jerseys made. Boom. Check these bad boys out.
Boom.
Look at them. They're so colourful.
They're class. Love them.
They're like a 90s throwback.
They are 90s vibes. These are giving me Saved by the Bell vibes.
Yeah, all made courtesy of D-Armor Sportswear. If you want to go check out their products, you can do that. Their website is linked down below. And you can go and ask them for your own kit if you want to get something made. But if you want to see us wearing these in action, you can check out our YouTube video where we take part in Midland's Fittest Families.
Superstars.
Okay, we're not really superstars though. But you can still check it out.
You can still check it out though.
Anyway, go back to the video. Boom.
Let's go.
All right, since we were talking about learning, I felt like this week I learned something new and I actually got to use it in a man skill in public today. Did you see me go a bit mannish today?
Mannish
today. I actually got to talk about man things from stuff I've learned in DIY.
When did you go mannish?
So for everyone out there that didn't know, because we didn't post it anywhere, we were shopping today in Killarney. Yeah.
We posted nothing,
which is great. I love it. This has like been like a proper cleanse from social media the last 12 weeks ish kind of for me. But we were out in Killarney, ended up in the Army Surplus store.
Oh yeah.
And they sell loads of bits and bobs and tools or whatever. And I learned about a particular disc during the week because
is that what you're on about?
Listen, let me tell my story the way I want to tell it, okay? Don't start correcting me on the details because I'm going to look heroic in this story, all right? Okay? Okay? Don't be correcting them. Don't be telling them the truth, okay? But during the week, myself and Dad were cutting the bricks for paving in the back, right? And we were using certain types of blades. And we had been talking about the prices of these blades and everything. And he was saying, it's outrageous, Tyke. This is my man voice for everything. It's outrageous, Tyke. The price of discs is crazy. It's not even English.
Why are you putting an English accent on your dad?
This is what I call a man voice. It's a man voice. When you do man things, you put on the man voice. Okay?
Go on.
Right? And he's like, it's outrageous. The price of these discs is crazy. But I could get him an Audi. 10 quid. 10 quid, Tyke. I'm like, great. I'm inside the Aldi Surplus store. And I spot these discs. Beautiful diamond cut. They're special ones for cutting tiles and cutting bricks and stuff like that. Proper stuff, not just for cutting steel. Proper diamond discs. That's what they're called. And I saw it and I said, Chelsea. I went, oh man, Chelsea, I need to ring Dad. I'm gonna ring Dad, okay? There's this here, £3.50, mate. £3.50.
This is exactly how it went.
FaceTime
minus the English minus accent.
But you see, that's my exact. See, I can't do the man actions properly because they won't see it. I have to exaggerate it for the Spotify listeners. And rang dad, we had a proper man conversation, and I was like, if I spot anything else, I'll let you know, right? Mate, right? And he was like, you said it, mate. You said it.
I'm actually cringing. We were in the middle of this outlet store, and like he was FaceTiming his dad, and like, first of all, it was very loud. Half the store could hear this whole conversation.
So it actually got so loud at one stage, another bloke, another man came up, right? And not to give out, he got involved in the conversation. He came up and was like, just a quick one, mate. Again, not even English, he's just Irish, but it's a bloke. He was having a bloke conversation, so he gets the bloke voice. Just a quick one, mate. Just be careful, right? If it's a special cutting tool you've got to check the inside. But if it's an angle grinder, you're all right. And I went, it's all right, mate. It's an ankle grinder. Cheers, mate. Blokey bloke. Man conversation, isn't it?
You're actually so cringe. I actually can't cope with you. He's so cringe.
You have to admit there's a bit of a blokey to that.
I was just dying laughing. Tell him what else you bought today.
Oh my God. I actually got to go full... I should have done this about 12 weeks ago, to be honest. But I wasn't in Killarney. Not that that's an excuse. I could have bought them anywhere, really. I almost got myself some work boots.
Work boots?
Steel toe capped. And I was going to go all out and get myself a pair of Snickers pants. But I was like, it's too hot. It's too hot.
And there was no Snickers pants there.
There was versions similar to them. Snickers is more like the brand. It's like those workman pants. But I ended up like, do you know what? I'm just going to get myself workman shorts. Because it's going to be all inside. And
to be fair, they
hot.
Actually just look like shorts.
But they got the pockets.
They have a pocket on the side type.
They've got extra pockets.
You could have got them in pennies.
For sandwiches or something. I don't know what the workmen.
Sandwiches?
I don't know what. I'm not a real workman, okay?
You don't even eat sandwiches.
It doesn't matter. I've now got the workman pants. I don't know what you use the pockets for, okay? I'll find out when I hang out with more blokes. They'll tell me what to put in the pockets.
More blokes.
I assume one of them is a sandwich pocket.
Oh my God.
The other one... Pencils. I don't know.
Pencil goes in your ear.
Yeah, I do that. That's only one pencil. What if you lose that pencil?
See, not a true workman.
I actually bought, Dad doesn't know this yet.
Oh, pencils.
I did.
Fuck off.
I bought 10 carpenter's pencils.
Oh, for God's sake.
Not for me, for Dad.
All right, okay.
Right, because right now we are going through every single pencil that I had inside in the office. They're gone. They're pretty much all gone. And like, they just go down to the house and then we sharpen them. This is the manliest way I've ever... I'm going to have to put on the bloke voice for this. You might, when you got a pencil, right, you need to sharpen it using a Stanley knife. No, you can't be using like your typical pencil sharpener. No, Stanley knife, mate. Ruined its up. That's how it's done.
I can't with the accent. I actually can't. Can't cope with it. This is what I have to do with.
I feel like from now on, this section of the episode, we got one episode to go.
One episode
next
left.
Next episode, it's going to be all Dave. Dave's going to come on to talk about the DIY. Yeah, it's going right, mate. Project's going really well. We've been back in the attic this week. We're sort of putting up some insulated slab, innit?
We actually have. That's not actually
I'm giving
actually
you the updates
factual.
Through Dave. I feel like this
that's actual factual information right there.
I was chatting with my colleague yesterday. I wasn't on site. But he's told me that himself and the plumber, I don't know, in French.
Plumber?
The foreman and the plumber, they've tanked the shower tray. Means there's no water can get through it anymore. So if there's a leak, it ain't going to come down in your kitchen, innit, mate? You don't know what to do with anyway. Work with me here, woman. Work with me.
I don't know what to say to you. He's just going full English.
Ask me about any updates for any rooms. Let's see if I've got anything I can give you.
Well, you've completed the back garden.
Oh, mate. Let me tell you about the back garden, right?
Back garden is completed.
Nah, what we did, right, during the week, we whacked it, didn't we? We got a whacker at. Then we sanded it. We've got a shed next week coming from Denmark.
Is it coming?
Yes, due to come from Denmark, isn't it?
Yes.
We're going to build that in about 2 hours. No problem. Me and the old mucker, me old mucker there, John, we're going to be building that shed. Once it's done, right, we've got...
What kind of shed is it?
It's a big... It's anthracite grey.
That's the colour. What kind of shed is it?
It's a big one. It's 2 by 2 metre. Right? It's going to be... It's got a slanted roof. It's not one of those house-looking ones. Now it's going to slant back. It's going to be nice. Just trust me on it, mate. Right, love?
It.
Right, love? Right, darling? It's going to be nice.
I was like, why are you calling me mate?
Yeah, because it felt unnatural calling you mate, but then I was like, is it sexist if I start calling her darling?
No.
I suppose you're now in a relationship with Builder Dave.
Yeah.
So, we're gonna build a shed in about 2 hours, darling. All right, and then we're gonna pour in the foundation of the base inside. That's what's got to be done. Keep it solid, you know.
Solid.
That shed, tell you now, you could have a hurricane class 5 would knock it over. Telling you, me and me old mucka John will get the job done.
I feel like Tig's body has been consumed by Dave right now, I feel like that is enough of the updates of DIY this week, lads, because I don't know about you, but Dave is a little much.
So we're saying goodbye from Dave?
We're saying goodbye to Dave this
week,
folks.
From Dave. Cheerio, meow muckers. Right. Now that Dave's left a building. Right, I suppose we better end the episode with our usual.
That's a bop.
I think Chelsea, did you somehow manage to sneak a win?
Yes, I did.
I don't like this.
I felt
a little bit of sabotage came into that one because the right version of my song didn't come up. It was mixed in with Lowrider.
Oh, don't give me that.
But
man.
Now I actually weirdly like that mix because I like both songs, but together doesn't quite go as good as the normal.
So, Tig's That's a Bop. Our ass stop. He came in at 65%.
Yeah, not good. Whereas
and
yours?
Your gal came in with a topping 73%. Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner.
So you won this week, which is fair. Like, I'm like, cool, right? I actually think that brings our totals really close together now.
I have got to be on top by now.
No.
There is no way.
You were really far behind at the start. You forget how far, but there was a stage where it was like 7-3 or something like that, or even further. Like I had a big lead. Now I don't know what it is. We'll have to look it up before the final episode to see if it's still possible to win.
Right.
But we've got to go with this week's theme. Okay, we already did a school one, so it's not going to be school.
Yeah.
But it's the idea of going back to school. So this song has to feature the idea of going back to something.
Going back to something or returning to something.
Back.
Or
just back or
just going
return.
Back.
That idea. Does that make sense? So I'm intrigued to see. I gave Chelsea an example earlier because it was like back to life, back to reality.
Right.
That was like the example. That counts. Okay.
Okay.
What did you go for?
Am I going first?
Yeah, you won, so you get to go again.
Okay, so I have gone for this week for Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison.
Oh, I don't know if I... Oh, interesting. Oh, that'll, ooh.
That is a tune. That's a really kind of like summer vibe as well, I think, in my opinion. That is a summer vibe.
Oh, this is going to be interesting. So, because I've also gone for something that is a bit out there.
Okay.
But I hope this is the original. I went for Back Once Again for the Renegade Master.
Oh!
Let's see where it comes in. Oh my God, I forgot how slow the intro is.
That is a tune.
I want that. That part. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
That is a good tune. Okay, I will. Hands up, I will say it to you. Do you know, I never told you last week. I was in work on Friday and Shane, this is Tig's best friend, Shane came down to the office just out of nowhere. I went, Chelsea, I had to give you an ass up this week. I was like, what? And he was like, I had to give you an ass stop this week. I was like, fine. He was like, usually I vote for yours. Usually, he goes, usually you've got good songs. This week, Tyg had you. He outdone you. I was like, you're having a laugh. I said, there's no way Tyg outdone me.
But yeah, I love it. We actually get so many
turned
of
against
you.
Me last week.
Yeah, did right.
I still won, so I don't care.
I love when we get messages from people being like, that was a good choice, Tyg, but Chelsea's was better, or vice versa. Yeah. I love that, because like, there's so many people. There's actually more people probably like voting on that than there is listening to the podcast. It's like become a real thing.
It's actually mental. I love that. So many people vote for that, and we absolutely love it. So, you know what to do. Go over to our Instagram and vote which one you think is a...
That's a bop.
My God.
The concussion is kicking back in again. You need to go to bed, girl. Lay her down in the dark room.
And go and listen to that story about, because I'm actually convinced I have concussion. I can't think straight. But go on over to our Instagram and vote which one you think is a bop and which one you think is an stop.
Stop. That's right. Go over. And while you're there, don't forget to hit that follow button. Don't forget to also click on the link tree. Go to YouTube. Hit subscribe on that one. Yep. And maybe if you're feeling in the mood for it, go click on that Patreon button as well. And consider spending a couple of those glorious little euros or pounds or dollars you have on two of your creators who are keeping you entertained at least once, if not more times during the week.
Hands are actually creepy. This is
the subscribe face. Subscribe.
But definitely go and subscribe to our YouTube and our Patreon, especially our Patreon, because next week's episode will be the last episode of season two, and we will be taking a long, long break until we get the house done. So we can't confirm nor deny when we will be back for season three. We will be back. Don't get me wrong, we will be back, but when, we don't know. So go and subscribe to our Patreon, where you will get weekly updates, mostly weekly updates from us, where you will be kept in the loop of what's been going on with the life of Chelsea and Tyg.
That's right. So on that note, I suppose we better end the episode. Ring that school bell. It's the end of the school day. Y'all can go home now and enjoy the rest of your lives.
Until tomorrow.
Don't forget to check Google Classroom.
Go have an amazing weekend, and best of luck to everybody starting secondary school, primary school, college whatever. Jobs. Best of luck. Go have an amazing
experience. And parents
experience.
Sending their kids off for the first time.
Go and make friends, make new experiences. Best of luck to all the teachers going back as well. And yeah, like Tyg said, best of luck to all the parents waving bye-bye to their babies flying the nest. Go have an amazing weekend.
Freedom!
And we will chat to you next week.
Go on, good luck.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.